Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Naked Englishman podcast. I'm Richard Vopes. It is the 26th, I think, today of February. It's a Thursday, and it's, I think, something like 7:45 or something. It's a sort of half, well, it's an overcast day, but with light cloud and blue trying to come through the sky this morning. It doesn't feel quite as warm as it was yesterday. Yesterday we had a beautiful day, blue skies, lovely. They were having a day off from spraying, although we did see chemtrails going. Or they were just late up, or they just hadn't had the delivery of all the chemicals they've put into the air, whatever it is. Anyway, they've managed to get it into the air today, but hopefully it will blow away. But it was very warm for February. It was very warm. Julia and I were on the land and we were doing lots of good work. We had a good day, long day on the land, which was wonderful, wonderful. And I was, what sort of things were we doing? We did a lot of clearance work, actually, and Julia was doing some planting. So that was, and we got various things up on the land, some more pallets to make various things. So it was all good. Had a lovely time, which was nice. So that was handy and very rewarding. And then came back and cooked a nice casserole. So that's good. I've got logs coming tomorrow. No, is it tomorrow? Friday. Yes, it's coming Friday, which is a bit unusual, really, because he normally comes on a Saturday, but I'm glad he's not coming this Saturday. He is coming on a Friday, so I'm just watching through the window. There's a bloke with his little daughter who is about a foot and a half tall. Don't let her run in the road. That was my worry as I was watching, thinking, oh my God. Anyway, so that was that. What else has been going on? Sorry, I haven't done one of these for a couple of days now, and you probably go to the website and go, oh, he still hasn't done one. But I apologise for that. It's been a bit hectic. This week's been a strange old week. We've got things organised to go and do, which is rather lovely. We went and got another emergency supply of logs. Can't remember whether I told you that the other day when we were up looking at... when was that? On the way back from looking at a tractor, I think. Yes, that's right. And we've been... It's strange wood. It's elm. And this guy uses a chainsaw to carve them into all sorts of different shapes. And it was a relatively cheap bag of wood. But actually, I wouldn't buy any more of this. It burns too quickly. And it's difficult to cut because it's all offcuts from his carving. So they're all different shapes. And some of them are long. They look like enlarged potato peelings or carrot peelings, that sort of thing. Some of them are very thin and what have you. And others are great big chunks that are difficult to hack up. But anyway, we're making our way through those as an emergency supply because we've run out again. It's been a very odd month, the last month or so. Well, at the beginning of the year, because we kept running out of bloody logs, running two fires. And because we weren't away on the land doing things because of the dreadful weather, we've been here most of the time. And when it was cold, it just needed both fires going. And of course, I was in the depth of this illness that was on my muscles, this physical illness, trying to convalesce. And I needed the warmth because the muscles, you know, when you're cold and shivering, the muscles are just contracting again and adding to the misery. But that's all pretty much over now, so that I'm, you know, absolutely thrilled. We're back on the land. I'm chopping wood and snipping brambles and able to do things. My strength is slowly coming back. I wouldn't say yet I was ready to use the chainsaw. I just need to build up back there, because it's been, well, I was looking at it, it's been about 4 months in total, this whole thing. And if you don't use your muscles, you know, they start to wither away. And if you've got some form of illness that is attacking those muscles, which I think this was doing, it was like a muscle withering problem. And so I've got to build them back up, build up the strength. But thank goodness, you know, climbing out of that hole As I've said before, without the pharmaceuticals, which has been brilliant. So I'm very pleased about that. So that's all good. Today, meeting a chap who is delivering some, I don't know what it is. It's not real slate. It's kind of like slate, but it's a sort of artificial slate, but it's a stone. Somebody said it was not Irish stone. Some form of stone that's been sliced that acts like slates. Anyway, point being is they're tiles, quite large roof tiles, and he's going to deliver them up to the land. And we thought, well, that would make a very nice roof for something. And they were offered to us for free, and we said, yes, please. So I've got to meet him today. I've got to go to the farm shop and get... some more milk, because we're going through the milk pretty quickly, which has been great. Love raw milk. It's so good for you. I think that's partly what's helped me out of this hole, really. So that's great. Yesterday, I've shared on my community tab a video. In fact, two videos. Did I share both of the videos? I shared one of them from a chap. I forget the name of the... YouTube channel, but it just came up on my feed and I thought I'd have a listen, and it was about birth certificates, and it had a different take, basically the same information but a different way of looking at it. And what the most interesting part, I think, that a lot of people miss when they talk about birth certificates and legal fictions and this sort of thing, is that in 1933 in Britain, and these things were introduced prior to 1933, people didn't have to have a birth certificate to identify themselves, or to prove that they had been born and that they had a name attached to them. They didn't need to do that. Because it was a private affair, the records were kept in the churches and in parish records, that sort of thing. Absolutely fascinating. Of course, so one's great-grandfather would not have had a birth certificate, a piece of paper to say, hey, that is what you associate with me. And of course, a piece of paper doesn't prove anything. It's a piece of paper with words on it. That's all it is. It doesn't mean that you are duty bound or destined forever to be associated with anything that's written on a bit of paper. The fact that your mum and dad go to a registrar and the name is registered in with the government as a name for you doesn't actually mean that is your name. It just means that if you want it to be your name, you can associate yourself with it. If you want a passport and you want a bank account, then you can't get one without having one of those bits of paper. But it doesn't mean that's you, does it? How can it? It's just a bit of paper. But if you need to be in the system, that's how they identify you. But so, and they made some, again, it was some sort of benefit to have this system. But in the old days, the community knew who you were because you lived in the community, and they go, well, that's Fred. That's Fred the fisherman, or that's John the carpenter, or whatever he might be. The people knew who you were, and there was no question about it, because you had your community around you knowing who you were. And we've lost that, of course, in this modernisation, in this breaking up of the family that people like Tony Blair was very big and responsible for education, 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 and making sure your children went to universities as far flung as they could, so that the kids never came back and grew up in the same street and, in the same house, and your community has been smashed up. Because most of the kids would, if you lived down here, they'd end up in Leeds University, and then they'd make friends there and they would get a house there. And before you knew it, that's where they lived, and you had a 4-hour journey to go and see them. And so hence the family would be broken up. It's all part of a big plan. And but what's interesting, and the interesting take on this birth certificate thing, and of course it's not a birth certificate at all, it's a copy of an entry. The bit of paper you get is a copy of an entry into a ledger. Which is fairly meaningless. It's just somebody's got a ledger of names. But it's not you that's got a ledger of names. You think this name is you. But it doesn't have to be you. You could change your mind, can't you? And say, well, you know, people, actually, people call me this. That's what I'm known as. So, and how are you going to prove it? But the interesting bit, the bit that I wanted to mention, that is in this community tab video that I've put there, shared rather, I mean, I didn't make the video, was the fact that in 1933, the idea that we needed a birth certificate in Britain was also the idea that was needed in America and in other countries around the world. And the guy points out, and I thought this is a very good thing, he says, you know, okay, so one country has decided that they want some better way of recording, or the state wants a way of recording who is who and what they are entitled to, and you bring your bit of paper and you say, well, that's me, that's, you know, that's the evidence that I have that I am this individual. Well, that's fine, as he says, you know, even if that's not right, that's fine. But it's strange that other countries would come up with exactly the same idea, the same architecture of registering, the same process of registering, all at the same time. And he said, that's very unusual, because normally a country with different traditions and different language and what have you would come about these things at different times. Somebody might do it and they'd go, well, let's watch that country and see how it goes. 10 years later, they might go, yeah, that's quite a good system, but we'll do it this way. And there may be a variation in it. Well, there's no variation in this. They're all doing exactly the same. And it all happened all at once. It's almost reminiscent of a vaccine, isn't it, that was given to everybody, that everybody decided that the one vaccine that was going to do the job of a certain virus around 5 years ago, that this one vaccine was the thing. Instead of a lot of countries going, well, they can do that, but we've got a different one. We've got a vaccine that we've made, which is completely different. Or we may not go with the vaccine thing, we're going to try these herbal remedies and see if that works. It's a similar sort of pattern that almost a guiding hand, you know, and I'm not talking about a god, a guiding hand, or a control of some description, enabled all of these countries all at the same time to decide, yeah, we'll have the same system, identical. We're not going to change it or make any variations for our country. We're just going to have the same system exactly at the same time. And that is weird. And that is not how a country would come to its own conclusion that it would have something, because every country, you know, does things differently. And that's what makes countries interesting, isn't it? You travel around and you see that the weather might influence people, say in Spain, to have a siesta in the middle of the day, and so on. Every country operates differently because of their people and their traditions. The other fascinating thing that he gets in his message, which again is something I hadn't considered, and I thought this was really interesting, is the fact that when the system changed in 1933, let's just take this country in Britain, when it changed, you know, and a government says, yes, we're going to bring this in and this is going to be mandatory and everybody will have to have one of these things, is where was the debate? Where was the debate with the public? Where was the trials and the tests and the discussions in village halls and in town halls and in speaking rooms and in libraries, where people could say, well, I don't know that this is a good idea. Why are we having it? Could we not do it this way? Is there not a better way of doing it? Where is it going? What's the advantage? Can we try doing it this way, etc., etc.? Where is the debate which you would ordinarily have when you bring new laws or anything that's going to be mandated on you? And again, it is reminiscent of a government that's saying, no, you're having this, come what may. And like with the vaccine that came in, it's like, no, this is it, and we're going to force you to do it. In which you think, how is it you can force me to have a bit of chemicals, which I don't know its provenance of. I've not been involved. I've not been invited to discuss or be part of the discussion about whether it's actually healthy or not. We haven't had any long-term tests, say, over 10, 20 years. We don't know what it will do in pregnant women. We don't know what it will do on young children as they grow up into their 20s and 30s. Yet we will inject everybody with the same serum and assume that it's going to be okay. And, you know, that's the same thing that the government, with one fell swoop, saying you're having this back in 1933. Where is the discussions? And this chap says, I've looked at the archives. There is no discussion. There is no debates in the public arena of people trying it out or saying, yeah, this is a good idea. We'd love to have this. We never mind your Bible, which used to have the names of your children in and all those sort of things, or the parish records, where it was all private. It's as if the whole country has said, yeah, we want you to know exactly who I am so you can identify me with a bit of paper whenever you want. That, I mean, it's a very sinister idea that you would do this. We've always just accepted it because we've been born in the middle of this system. But it's a very strange idea that when it was introduced, there is no debate. And that I find very interesting. So, go and have a look at that video if you get a chance. I think that would be a worthwhile thing. It's just a different take on the same idea that, of course, you know, a legal identity has been created for legal purposes. But actually, at the end of the day, that is all an idea. It's an idea. A legal entity is just an idea. It's not a real person. And a physical human being is something very different. But again, if you consent to being this idea, you've stepped into the mask, into the persona, into the clothes of the actor. You're not the real thing. So I think that's a absolutely fascinating approach and might wake more people up in the fact that this so-called birth certificate has any connection whatsoever to do with the real living and breathing human being. The soul inhabits that. Because as I see it, nobody can identify. I mean, even the document itself, the copy of an entry, the certified copy of an entry into the ledger, the bit of paper that we all call the birth certificate, says on it. And how many times has one got to say that? Look at it. Look at it. It says at the bottom, this certificate or this document cannot be used as evidence as identity. If it cannot be used as evidence as identity, what the hell is its purpose? You know, it's a very sinister purpose. And if you say, I'm not in your system, mate, thanks very much. But then, of course, if you do say you're not in the system, you have to walk away from all of it. Your national insurance number, you have to walk away from the government pensions, you have to walk away from all of it. And that's what makes it very difficult. You can't work for corporations because they will demand, because a corporation, let's face it, is, again, it's another idea. It's a dead entity idea. It's in the make-believe world. It's a fake world wrapped around a real world and people are entering it. So you have to be able to be responsible for yourself, to be able to walk away and say, no, that's not me. And you might think, well, what about my house? You know, I've bought a house. Well, you may have purchased a house, and that's true, but the government hasn't given you the house. You know, ultimately, the house hasn't come from the government because the government has nothing. They can only sell you made-up things called titles. You get a title document, don't you, for your house. But it's a made-up, you know, title. What's that? A title is what you get at the beginning of a film. A title is somebody who calls himself Lord So-and-so whatnot. It's a concept. It's not a real thing. It's a concept in a world that doesn't exist. And they don't actually divide up the land and say this document is a document to prove that you have bought the land. The only document you've got that can prove that you've got the land is a receipt. And that receipt would come from the previous owner. But who has a receipt? When I bought the land recently. I didn't get a receipt. I got a title document, or I haven't even got any documents, to be honest, because it's all electronic. I just was told that it's been registered in land registry under my legal fiction name. I haven't got anything to prove that I have actually purchased the land, really, other than the sort of paperwork through the solicitor, which would be significant enough in their system. But if somebody challenged me and said, well, actually, I own that and here's a receipt to prove it, I wouldn't be able to say that's not true. And ultimately, where did they get their receipt from? And if you took it back further enough, you'd go, well, the only person or the only entity would be whatever it was that created the land in the first place. We might commonly refer to that as God. You might say God created the earth. Whether you believe God to be some form of intelligence that is like a little old man sitting in the sky with a beard, or whether it's just nature itself is the sort of pervasive life force that is around, or the universe, whatever created it, whether it's the Big Bang, or whatever you decide, that would be the originator, and the originator would be the only thing that could offer a receipt. And of course, that's extremely unlikely that anything like that would happen. So the only other option is somebody who's come across the land first and put a stake in it, and that would be what? Early man. Well, you go back and try and find an early man that's capable of writing a receipt. I mean, it's never going to happen, is it? So nobody owns anything, really, and they can't prove it. And just because the government, the state, decide, oh, you've got a title document, that's just a title. It's in a made-up world, it doesn't exist. Anyway, I just thought I'd mention all of that. It's now getting on. I've got to get on. I hope you have a lovely day, whatever you're doing. It is much colder than it was, which is a shame. I'm going to find another jumper to put on. And you look after yourself. Bye for now.